Hello? Yes. Can you hear me now? Happy Sabbath. That was too quiet. Happy Sabbath. How many are you happy to be here this morning? I know I am. I'm happy to be with my extended family from Redeeming Grace Fellowship. Now I see some smiley faces, and I see some faces that aren't too smiley. And I've been to churches. The other day I was going to a church, and as I was headed to church, there was a lot of commotion on Sabbath morning. There was a lot of excitement at the streets at about 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what's going on? It's 8 o'clock in the morning, it's Sabbath, and there's people wearing certain colored shirts and t-shirts, and turns out when I got to church, I asked, what's going on? They said, well, it's game day. She said, oh, it's game day. I said, wow. And when I got to my church and got up to preach, everybody was not too smiley. And I'm like, what's going on? Something is not right here. This is game day for us as Seventh-day Adventists. This is game day for us, and we seem to be so serious. We need to be joyful in the Lord, don't we? Yes, we do, because the Lord has blessed us this week, has He? He has blessed you this week. I'll tell you what. Today, according to the World Health Organization, 16,000 people will die. 16,000 children will die because they did not have something to eat. Malnourished kids. 16,000 will die today. And guess what? I don't think we're in that statistic. So I'll say again, are we blessed? We're blessed. Did someone not have something to eat this week? Because if someone did not have something to eat this week, that's what the church is here for. That's what I'm here for as a brother and a sister to find out if someone is not having enough to be able to share some of my blessings with them. Is that not what the church is about? That is what the church is about. Are we blessed? Amen. We are blessed. Did someone not have something or somewhere to put their head or lay down in a bed this week? I think we all did. Did we not? We all had a roof. The rain came. Did anybody get wet while you were, unless you were camping? But did anybody get wet when the rain came and you were sleeping? No. Can we say amen? We are blessed and we are here to thank our Redeemer and our Savior because He is good to me and He is good to you. And I know it. I know He is. And I want to see a smiley face on each one of you because as Christians, we are called to rejoice. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice in the Lord. Always, always rejoiceful. Christians need to be upbeat about what they believe. They need to be living what they believe, right? So we need to be joyful because we have a Savior that died for you and for me and to live with Him eternally. This morning, those of you who have your Bible, I want to invite you to open your Bibles up. Or your iPads, or your phones, or whatever it is that you use to study the Word of God. In the book of John, chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. Verse 25 and 26. I was looking for. Looking for a vase, but I don't see one. Maybe in the back. But it says the following, verse John 4:25 and 26, 28 and 29. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. I am he," Jesus told her, "the one speaking to you." 28. Then the woman left her water jar, her water pot, went into town and told the man, Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? It's talking about a water pot. The verse is talking about a water pot. But you know what? That water pot full of water is a forgotten water pot. A forgotten water pot. Historical evidence of a transformational event. You know, the thirsty stranger that showed up that day did not drink the water. And the woman who had gone to get water forgot the water pot. It was all, dear church, it was all, dear church, a demonstration that more than our material needs, even our most basic need, there is a need that is wider and higher and deeper that only an encounter with Jesus can deeply satisfy. Don't think that resolving the issue of food and water or any other material need that you might have will resolve our most deepest issue. That need can only be filled with Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? Only He can fill that need. Education, culture, exercise of willpower, they all have their own sphere. But they lack the power to save us. They can produce an external correction to our conduct, but they cannot change the heart. They can't change the heart. They cannot purify the fountains of life. There must be a power that works from within, a power from on high, before we can convert from sinful to holy. And you know what? That power has a name, and you probably know it. That power is Jesus Christ. Only He can deeply satisfy the dead fountains of our soul and attract the soul to holiness. This morning I would like to ask you, would you like to finally abandon your routine of failures? Would you like to finally abandon your routine of lukewarmness, your routine of oversights in your spiritual life? Would you like to finally abandon your routine of distractions in your spiritual life? Would you like to finally abandon your routine? Your routine. Would you like to finally abandon your water pot? Your water pot full of routines. Full of routines, would you like to finally abandon it? Do you recognize that there are needs far greater than material ones? Do you recognize it? Even those you count as basic, far beyond food, far beyond our basic needs, far beyond physical water. Let's go to verse 14, John 4:14. It says, "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Dear church, we are here this morning in search of something greater. Are we not? We are here this morning in search of something greater. We are here this morning to find the water of life. And if Redeeming Grace Fellowship is not offering the water of life, those who come will feel very disappointed. Far beyond food, verse 34, far beyond food. "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." Thirst and hunger. Aren't those our most basic needs? Thirst and hunger. Far beyond anything earthly, far beyond anything is your eternal life. Your eternal life, and I'm not referring to life that we are living here right now, this very moment. I'm referring to the life that we live outside of this parking lot, beyond the parking lot, our daily life. We need to drink the water of life on a daily basis. In this story, the water of permanent or ongoing support and the food of God's will are present to supply our greatest need. And if I don't accept Christ in the intimacy of my life as my personal Savior, if I don't accept Christ and we have not satisfied our thirst and our hunger, we will go from one well to another well to another well, from one table to another table to another table, always feeling unsatisfied. But let's go to Jacob's well. It's still there outside of Sychar. No place can be better identified in the life of Jesus than Jacob's well. We can say right here in this very well was the Samaritan woman and Jesus. We can clearly pinpoint it. This clearly pinpointed where Jacob's well is. It says, verse 6, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about what time? What does it say? The sixth hour. Pastor Esposito, what was the sixth hour? Yeah. After the fifth and before the seventh. That's correct. That was the sixth hour, which was right at noon, which is right at noon right now. So it was kind of like it is right now. Right at noon. You know, right at noon is when the most beautiful things happen in the Gospel of John. The most beautiful things happen during the day, not at night. Like when Judas could not perceive the great message of Jesus Christ lifted. Not at night, like when Judas left the upper room. Not at night, like when Judas came with the crowd with lanterns, torches, and weapons to arrest Jesus. Not at night, like in the middle of the thunderstorm. Not at night, like when the fishermen caught nothing. Jesus, according to the story registered by John, said, "Doesn't the day have 12 hours? He who walks by day does not stumble." Yes, dear brothers and sisters, during the day, because in the Gospel of John, Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. And here in this encounter with the Samaritan woman, right at noon, there was a total transformation, a complete transformation, a complete makeover with a forgotten water pot as evidence of that transformation. This morning, I want to share with you four important points for our spiritual exercise this morning. Number one, the commitment of Jesus with his mission. Can we all repeat it? The commitment of Jesus with his mission. You know, that's why he chose to stop that day in Samaria. He chose to stop that day in Samaria. That was not the usual route. That was not the usual route. Typically, what would happen, the Jews that wanted to go from Judea to Galilee, this is the route they would take. They would go from Jerusalem towards Jericho, cross the Jordan River, go up the Transjordanian route through Perea, Decapolis, and once in Decapolis, they would head straight into Galilee. All this detour with the purpose of not going through Samaria, which was right in the middle between Judea and Galilee. You know, the Samaritans were God's people too, were they not? They were God's people too. Their roots and their Jews' roots could be tracked to the same place. That's why the Samaritan woman said, "Our father Jacob, our father Jacob, your father and my father, our father Jacob." Circumstances of having been conquered and instilled enmity between them, that they did not even speak to each other, much less ask or receive favors from each other. They only made exceptions when it had to do with a business transaction. That was okay. Business transaction was okay. And that's why the disciples were out and about looking for food, because that was allowed. It was not frowned upon. But this time in verse 4, John 4, 4, it says, "Now he had to go through Samaria." It was necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria. It was necessary. It's an expression used in the gospel to highlight the importance of a mission. If we could have gone to Jesus and asked Jesus, hand me your iPhone. I want to check your agenda for today. We would probably find out that Jesus' iPhone, when you pulled up the calendar, we would probably said 12 noon, interview with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. If we would have checked Jesus' phone, that's probably what it would have said. According to Jesus' schedule, the woman showed up right at noon. You know that wasn't the hour to go get water. Women usually would go early in the morning or late in the evening. But you can just imagine why she chose to go right at noon. I've always read the story, and I always thought that maybe she was a prostitute. A first century scholar from Judea mentions that that's probably not the case, because if she would have been a prostitute, she would have gotten stoned. He seems to think maybe she was barren. She could not have children. That's his thought. And she would get married, and then the husband would find out she didn't have children. So the husband would then just kick her out. She's no good. For five times, she got kicked out. So you can just imagine what is going through her life, whether it's one way or the other. She had a stigma placed on her because she could not live up to what everybody lived up to. Suddenly, Jesus shows up as a thirsty stranger. Jesus shows up as a thirsty stranger, and he was thirsty because he had been walking for quite a while. He was very thirsty. Even though he was completely God, it was necessary for him to be completely human. And when he asked her for a favor, which was frowned upon in those days, he immediately caught the woman's attention. He's like, wait a minute, why are you talking to me? So he caught the attention, and dialogue began back and forth. Can you imagine the creator of the seas, the creator of the streams, the creator of the rivers, come as a thirsty stranger? And not only that, but depend on a favor to have a sip of water? Can you imagine how much condescension, so much love for the cause of his mission? So much love for the cause of his mission to be able to enter in a dialogue with this Samaritan woman. It was necessary for the Creator to be thirsty. And dear brothers and sisters, if it is necessary for the Creator, for Christ to be thirsty, with the objective to save you, with the objective to save me, with the objective to save each and every one of us, he will be thirsty just to come see you. The Creator, so much love. But in the middle of that thirst shines a beam of divinity. Verse 10 says, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." If you knew, he told the woman, "If you knew I was the one that put two molecules of hydrogen and one molecule of oxygen together to create water, if you knew I brought the seas, the rivers, and the streams into existence, if you knew that I was the one that appeared to your father Jacob, the thirsty creator, all because it was necessary to save this woman." It was necessary. Jesus did not come to this world as a rich man. It would have been nice. So he could come out of his palace on a daily basis and give us lessons on charity. He did not come as a rich man. It would have been wonderful if he would have stepped out of his palace on a daily basis and share all that he had. But no. He became like the poorest of us. He became like the poorest of us, like you and me. Paul says that he emptied himself. Dear church, we cannot minimize the efforts of Christ in trying to find the key to our hearts. I'm going to underline, put italics and bold. We're church, we cannot minimize the efforts of Christ in trying to find the key to our heart. Can you imagine all the times Jesus tried to come near you last week? All the times he tried this past week to establish a dialogue with you and with me? The love of Christ. The love of our Redeemer. If he needs to be thirsty to save you, be assured that he will. Number two, the presence of the woman in the spiritual scenario. You know, it was not easy for the woman to enter in the spiritual scenario that Jesus was proposing with the water of life. Verse 11 says, "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" The woman did not understand. It was not easy for her. She shielded herself behind lies. Verse 17 says, "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband." It was not easy when she found out Jesus might be a prophet. She thought to herself, "Let me throw up a smoke curtain. I need to throw up a smoke curtain," like we do many times. We prefer to discuss on different issues rather than take a dive into the depths of our life. Verse 19 and 20. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Let's discuss this. Let's go back and forth. It was not easy for her. It was not easy for her. It has never been easy since Adam told God, "The woman you gave me." And Eve followed and said, "The serpent lied to me." It has never been easy for us human beings. It hasn't been easy for you. It hasn't been easy for me to enter into God's spiritual scenario. There's so much out there. There's so much excitement, so much fun, so much entertainment, so many games, so many tasks, so much busyness that we confine our spiritual life to events, short events, by the way. And we better be careful not to go over the allotted time, which we already have. We're always in a hurry. Always in a hurry, always in a hurry. We give God a portion of our time during the week, a portion of our time during the day, a portion of our resources. We are respectful toward God in all that we do. We give him a portion of everything. But dear brothers and sisters, we need to enter into the spiritual scenario. We need to take it everywhere we go. We need to take it to school. We need to take it to work. We need to take it to the play field. We need to take it to our computers. We need to take it to Facebook. We need to take it to YouTube. We need to take it to Snapchat, to Twitter, to Instagram, to our meetings, to our gatherings. We must take our spiritual scenario everywhere we go. Everywhere. Third lesson. Jesus made a personal revelation of him as Messiah. You know, this woman was used to a spiritual life that did not go beyond the shapes, the rituals, the forms. But that day, the Samaritan woman learned that the water of life is a person. The water of life is a person. And you know what? It's not this church. As a matter of fact, the water of life is not even this book right here. The water of life has a name, and the water of life's name is Jesus Christ. He is the water of life. Jesus' life is the water of life. Isn't that what we all humans need? That's what we need. We cannot live a spiritual life just because I've been an Adventist all my life, or just because I have, you know, it's a heritage thing. It's not. The woman knew the story of her beginnings, did she not? She said in verse 19, "Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." She mentioned, "It seems to me you're a prophet." And she was capable of discussing worship, like we read in verse 20. But now in the dialogue, she receives a personal revelation of Jesus as Messiah and Savior. And by the way, Jesus uses his powerful name. Do you know Jesus' powerful name? He uses, verse 26, "Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he." He uses, "I am." I am. And I say powerful because chapters ahead in the book of John, when Judas comes with the crowd to arrest Jesus, and they're looking for Jesus, and the crowd shows up, and Jesus asks, "Who are you looking for?" The crowd responds, "For Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus takes a step forward. "I am," he said. And guess what happened? They all fell on the ground. They could not withstand the name I am. That's why I say it's a powerful name. Remember when Moses told God, "What shall I tell Pharaoh if he asks me who is sending me?" He says, "You shall answer him, tell him, I am has sent you. I am has sent you." I am appears more than 25 times in the book of John. I'll repeat a few of them. Very memorable faces, by the way. "I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine." In the gospel, in this encounter with the Samaritan woman, was the first time Jesus presented himself as "I am." And what a privilege for the woman, because this was the turning point. This is where she did a 180 in her life, because "I am" was interviewing her. "I am" was there for her. Finally, point number 4. The woman could not hide her joy. With the declaration of Jesus, with the personal revelation of Jesus as her Savior, the woman was overwhelmed with joy. Verse 28 and 30. "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?' They came out of town and made their way toward him." They came out to see. The story that begins with tensions between two people, two different nations, ends in prayer and communion meeting for all. The story ends with a series of revival meetings. Verse 40 and 42. "So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers." Can we say amen? "Many more became believers. They said to the woman, 'We no longer believe because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.'" Have you ever questioned yourself or wondered why the name was omitted in this story? Why she doesn't have a name? I like to think, I like to believe that it's left out because if it had a name, it will look so much like someone else. And it doesn't have a name. Because God wants this, Jesus wants this to be your story. He wants this to be your story. A woman scarred by her past, all of a sudden finds healing in the water of life. A woman who had lost hope finds hope and rejoices in the water of life. A woman rejoices in the name of Jesus Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, in this manner and throughout history, this pattern is repeated time and time and time and time again. It is repeated. And it can be repeated in your life today. And I say today because you know what? There's only one place where Jesus can meet you. That is today, right now. The future, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen when we step out of this place. But Jesus can meet you right here, right now. Because you see, it's not by chance that you encounter Jesus. It's not by chance that you encounter Jesus. It's not by chance. Jesus is still faithful to his mission. And in his agenda, he has a personal interview with each and every one of us. This morning, as the band plays and sings the next song, I want to invite you to come up. I don't know where you are in your walk in your spiritual life. I don't know where you're at with Jesus. I don't know where you're at with God. I don't know where you're at with your husband or your wife or your kids or your work or your colleagues. I don't know where you're at. But if there's something that you know that needs to be fixed, I want to invite you to come up here while the band is playing. If you want to be, if you're not where you want to be with God, this is the moment. This is the place. This is where Jesus can meet you. I want to say a prayer for you at the end of the song. I want to invite you to come up. If you feel the Holy Spirit working in your heart, if you feel that he's working in you, don't push the interview aside. This is the time. This is the place to be. If you need to ask God for forgiveness, maybe that's what you need to ask him for. And you know what? We serve a God that is loving, a God that is merciful, but most importantly, we serve a God that forgives us. Can I hear an amen? No matter where you're at, we serve a God that forgives you, that forgives me. I want to invite you to come up.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Have what you need, but you keep on searching. Done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside just ain't gonna listen. Nothing can satisfy. Come to the well, and all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail, so leave it all behind. You are.
I do. And I'm the first one up here. God bless you. We serve a God that loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the moment. This is your time. You're at the well. Jesus, we ask for the Holy Spirit to be here this morning, and he is stirring your heart. This is your time. Don't ignore it. Come, let's ask for forgiveness. Let's ask him for forgiveness. He forgives you. He forgives me. He loves you. He loves me. He's merciful to you. He's merciful to me. That is the God you serve. This is the moment. This is the time. God bless your heart. We serve a God that he's going to say, you know, it doesn't matter what you did. It's okay. Let's forget the past. Let's move from here on forward. That is the Jesus. That is the God that you serve. And I invite you to come up if you need to reconsecrate your life to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I failed you with my family. I failed you with my work. I failed you with whatever it is. I don't know. We don't need to know. But he knows. He knows. This is the time. This is the time. This is the time.
The world will try.
This
but
is
it
your
can
family.
Never fail.
This is your family. Come up.
So leave it all behind. Now that you're full, love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow. Like a stream in the desert, soon all the world will see that living water is found in me, 'cause it comes to the well.
Esposito, do you want to close in prayer? Just let's come together here. Let's come together. And if you're up there, why don't you get up and just say a prayer there for 10, 20 seconds. And if you need to ask God or ask him to forgive you for something, just do it there. And then Pastor Esposito will close with a prayer for our service this afternoon.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, time and time again we find ourselves at the well, searching for those things that we believe we need to live, like good old water. And yet you offer us something so much more precious than water. You promise us life. Life abundant. Life eternal. Not just then and there, but also here and now. In the midst of all of these things. So maybe we came today with our own pots, searching our own waters in this well. And as we take a couple seconds to reflect on that, help us to leave that at the well today. You know what those things are. But as we leave this place, help us to leave having found that which we are really looking for, which is you. And as we leave this place, may we go like that Samaritan woman, maybe having left that pot behind, but telling all our friends, all those people around us at work, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, of the treasure that we have found in you. And may we thirst no more. We thank you for this, not because we deserve it, but in Jesus' precious name, that covers all our shortcomings and fills all the holes in our little heart. In his name we pray. Amen.
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 I want to thank Pastor Tony for spending this time with us. He'll be out back, and he'll be willing to greet with you and talk to you for a few minutes. We thank you again for visiting us, and we'll see you next week, same time, same place. Take care, and God bless.